What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. This is going to take 10 minutes. So we're going to go up to about 15 past, maybe 16, depending on when I stop talking. The biggest issue that the hosts on NBC have, according to them, is that Ronna McDaniel, being hired on as a contributor, participated in election denialism, not just a river in Egypt. And I thought I would just present to you 10 minutes of Democrats denying election results.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
Oh my goodness.
How can you win with Russian interference, though?
That's what I'm scared about, in
2020.
But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win. So how do you, you know, fight against that in 2020?
You are absolutely right.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate? Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election, and he was put in office because the Russians interfered.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president.
The president-elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
Nah. Yes, it is.
John Lewis.
President-elect. As a legitimate president.
You said you believe that Russia's interference altered the outcome of the election.
I do. We have a president
Einstein,
who, if in fact it is
Marcia
proven,
Fudge,
has been assisted by the Russians and may in fact not be a legitimate president.
The one thing that Trump is fearful of when it comes to his being president is that finally we will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
I have an objection.
I object to the 15 votes from the state of North Carolina.
I object because people are horrified.
He's an illegitimate president.
Do you believe Trump is a legitimate president?
What I believe is that there's no question that the outcome of this election was affected by the Russian interference.
But there absolutely is a cloud of illegitimacy.
So that legitimacy is in question, yes.
So that was a very tainted election. And in that sense, it's illegitimate.
Why do you think the president is going to such great lengths to essentially prove that he beat you?
Because he knows he didn't. Mm. He knows he's an illegitimate president.
Stolen emails. Stolen drone. Stolen
Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Stolen election. Welcome to the world of unprecedented Trump.
So do you believe President Trump is an illegitimate president?
Based on what I just said, which I can't retract.
In the Russian attempt to have the election, and frankly, the FBI's weighing in on the election, I think makes his election illegitimate.
There was a widespread understanding that this election was not on the level. We still don't know what really happened, Isaac. I mean, there's just a lot that I think will be revealed, history will discover. But you don't win by 3 million votes and have all this other shenanigans stuff going on and not come away with an idea like, whoa, something's not right here.
The outcome of the election was affected by their interference. And now we need to know, you know, to what degree, if any, the Trump campaign was actually in collusion with Russia.
He knows he's an illegitimate president. So, of course, he's obsessed with me. And I believe that it's a guilty conscience.
We actually won the last presidential election, folks.
Terry McCall.
And Al Gore won that election. I think he won it anyway.
Actually, I think I carried Florida.
Bush versus Gore.
Oh.
A court took away a presidency.
If all the votes were counted in Florida, that Al Gore would be president today and George Bush would be back in office.
I come from Florida, where you and others participated
Corinne
in
Brown.
What I call the United States coup d'etat.
There's no doubt in my mind that Al Gore was elected president.
I rise to object to the fraudulent 25 Florida electoral votes.
I must object because of the overwhelming evidence of official misconduct. Deliberate fraud
chair,
and an attempt
the
to
chair
suppress
must remind
China.
It is signed by myself on behalf of my diverse constituents and the millions of Americans who have been disenfranchised by Florida's inaccurate vote count.
The Supreme Court, not the people of the United States, decided this election.
Speaking to a Democratic group in Chicago Tuesday, he made it clear he thinks Al Gore was the winner.
By the time it was over,
Our candidate had won the popular vote, and the only way they could win the election was to stop the voting in Florida.
Catherine Harris, Jeb Bush, Jim Baker, and the Supreme Court hadn't tampered with the results. Al Gore would be president.
The Supreme Court elected the president.
2004, yes.
Al Gore won the state of Florida in 2000, although not the presidency.
But the Supreme Court tampered? That's a large charge. The Supreme Court stopped the counting of the votes, and if they let the count go on, Al Gore would have got the necessary votes.
The Supreme Court selected George W. Bush as the president. He was not elected.
There is overwhelming evidence that George W. Bush did not win this election.
What I observed as a voter, as a citizen of Illinois 4 years ago, were troubling evidence of the fact that not every vote was being counted.
Don't think that George W. Bush won the election in 2000, I guess Al Gore, because I think that he probably lost Florida and also that nationwide.
If you invite me back on this show in about 8 weeks, I think you're going to learn that Al Gore actually did get all the votes there.
The court has been thwarting formation of popular will, the most spectacular example being Bush versus Gore, where the majority by a 5-4 vote enjoined the counting of more than 100,000 ballots in Florida and essentially gave America its first court-appointed president.
Jesse Jackson.
2000, everybody thought, well, he did win the election, Al Gore.
After the election, when you stole the election, you came back here and said, get over it. No, we're not going to get over it.
You know it, I know it, they know it. We won that election.
Constantly shifting vote tallies in Ohio and malfunctioning electronic machines, which may not have paper receipts, have led to additional loss of confidence by the public.
The right to vote has been stolen from qualified voters.
In 2004, the democratic process was thwarted.
The 2004 presidential election in Ohio was riddled with unnecessary problems.
Some machines malfunctioned, causing votes to be counted more than once, or not at all.
Based upon an inordinate number of allegations suggesting gross voting rights violations and misconduct, I join with my colleagues in objecting to counting the state of Ohio's electoral votes.
As in 2000, the votes of many who wanted to vote were not, in fact, counted.
This last Friday night, I arranged to meet Senator Kerry at a fundraiser to give him a copy of my book. He told me he now thinks the election was stolen.
The wife of John Kerry said she has lingering doubts about the legitimacy of the election. Her theory goes like this. Two brothers, she calls hard right Republicans, own 80% of voting machines in the U.S. Therefore, it would be easy to hack into the mother machines that control the electronic voting.
There were numerous irregularities in Ohio, including large percentages of rejections of provisional balloting, problems with voting machines.
As we look at our election system, I think it's fair to say that there are many legitimate questions about its accuracy, about its integrity.
There are still legitimate concerns over the integrity of our elections.
I agree with tens of millions of Americans who are very worried that when they cast the ballot on an electronic voting machine, that there is no paper trail to record that vote.
The numerous irregularities that occurred with the electronic voting machines in Ohio on November the 2nd of last year point to an unresolved national crisis.
We cannot declare that the election of November 2nd, 2004 was free and clear and transparent and real. There must be independent testing of the voting machines used in Ohio.
I'm not confident that the election in Ohio was fairly decided. We know that there was substantial voter suppression and the machines were not reliable.
The members of Congress who have brought this challenge are speaking up for their aggrieved constituents, many of whom may have been disenfranchised in this process.
Treating today's electoral vote count in Congress as a meaningless ritual would be an insult to our democracy unless we registered our own protest against the obviously flawed voting process that took place in so many of our states.
Voters who wish to cast a vote for president or vice president can't approach the polls with certainty that their vote will be counted.
One of the most significant problems in Ohio and in many other states was the lack of measures to ensure the integrity of electronic voting machines.
In 2004, they caused Democratic voters in Ohio to wait for 8 hours before they could cast their ballot.
Howard Dean.
They turned the Department of civil rights of the Justice Department into the voter suppression division with voter ID laws, voter purging, voter caging, voter intimidation. There aren't going to be any more election stealings.
And despite the
Stacey
final
Abrams
tally and the inauguration and the situation we find ourselves in, I do have one very affirmative statement to make. We won.
Without voter suppression, Stacey Abrams would be the governor of Georgia. Andrew Gillum is the governor of Florida.
You refuse to concede and say that you lost. Do you stand by that decision today?
Absolutely. The election was not fair. The process was not fair.
If Stacey Abrams doesn't win in Georgia, they stole it. It's clear. It's clear.
I think that Stacey Abrams' election is being stolen from her.
It was not a free and fair election.
Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgians and Stacey
Abrams. That's Karine Jean-Pierre's tweet he's reading.
The election was not tainted, was not a disinvestment and a disenfranchisement of thousands of voters. I will not say that.
So election denialism is the reason NBC is very upset at Ronna McDaniel being hired. Just I want to be clear about that. Okay, that's the reason. Right. All right. It is tourney time, and it's also a good time to check out DraftKings Sportsbook, which is now live in North Carolina. You can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. You watching the basketball tournament games? Make bets as you watch and get fast and easy payouts. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props, which focus on an individual player and their performance within a specific game. Also, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time. I have a special promo for you as well. You download the DraftKings Sportsbook app on your phone or tablet and you use the code PETE, P-E-T-E. You bet $5 and you get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code PETE. The crown is yours, king or queen. But this is a limited time offer, so take advantage. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at draftkings.com/sportsbook/NC. Also, NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license.
Got a message here from Sue, who says, Pete, I have been listening to you for 5 years now. I look forward to noon each day because your show starts. You have such a great, quick sense of humor. You keep me laughing. Your subtle, quick responses are terrific. Thank you for making my day such fun, noon to three. Thank you, Sue. I appreciate that. You have a blessed day as well. And Sue, just for the record, is now my favorite listener. I can be persuaded, though, with cash. If you would like to be my favorite listener. No, I'm kidding. I'll just some flattering emails is enough. Joseph says, Pete, what audience does Ronna McDaniel bring in to NBC? I figured her hiring was a payoff for the poor job she did leading the GOP the last few years. Well, now that's actually, that would explain it. Like NBC says, hey, you know what, Ronna, you did such a bang up job. Banging up the GOP, like driving it into the ditch, backing up, hitting that tree, then like crossing the center line, going head on into another vehicle. Like bang up work, great work. We're going to give you this $300,000 a year golden parachute for you. That's possible. No, apparently she developed a good relationship with one of the NBC leaders who I'm trying to remember where she came out of first, but they had crossed paths before, but they had gotten to know each other doing work during something else. It might have been during the pandemic or something. I forget, but she got close with one of these NBC honchos, and that's who was that made the difference. But she was apparently in talks, serious talks, with ABC as well as CNN to become a contributor. But Joseph raises the very good question, like, who is her constituency?
Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Jen Psaki, who you may recall, used to work for Obama and for the Joe Biden administration. So, kind of awkward that all the NBC and MSNBC and CNBC hosts are all very angry over the hiring of Ronna McDaniel. And I will get back to this question of who her constituency is. Like, who's the audience? Who's interested to hear what she has to say and what kind of connections and all that? Okay, so I will get back to that. But this is Jen Psaki, because now she has to address this thing, because everybody with any kind of hosting chair at NBC, MSNBC, or CNBC, they're all commenting on the hiring of Ronna McDaniel and how it's the worst thing ever. And she's kind of sitting there like, well, yeah, I mean, I used to, you know, work for the White House and then another White House too, but it was totally different. Because it's
different.
You may
have seen some news over the last few days about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel
as
an NBC News contributor.
I did. I saw
that. And some, mainly in the right-wing ecosystem, have made the comparison to others who have come from government or politics into the media, including me.
Yeah. What?
And that is a comparison I felt like I had to address.
Oh, good call.
I got into public service for the same reason that many people do.
Yeah?
To serve the American people.
Oh, I thought it was the money.
I worked on my first political campaign when I was just 24 years old. When I was 28, I packed my bags. I moved to Chicago to work for Barack Obama.
To make a difference.
He wanted to make the country a better place.
Oh.
And I wanted to help him. I wanted to work on behalf of the American people to try to make their lives better. That's why I did campaigns. And a few years later, I would do the same thing for President Biden when I went to work for him in the White House.
Hero.
I was in the room for tough debates, for difficult decisions, for the messy and at times incredibly grueling process of governing.
Oh, my God.
And that experience is something that I'm extremely proud to bring to this table and to this network. And there are many others who have followed a similar path, who I have a great deal of respect for.
She's reading this entire thing.
But here's the thing.
Yeah, tell me.
That kind of experience only matters and only has value to viewers, all of you, if it is paired with honesty and with good faith. Those qualities are especially important right now at a time when our institutions are under attack.
Oh, God.
And when our democracy
is in
danger.
Oh, my God. The democracy.
Our democracy is in danger because of the lies that people like Ronna McDaniel have pushed on this country.
Not you, not.
To quote Liz Cheney, Ronna facilitated Trump's corrupt fake elector plot and his effort to pressure Michigan officials not to certify the legitimate election outcome. She spread his lies and called January 6th legitimate political discourse.
Mm.
Look, this isn't about Republicans versus Democrats.
No.
This isn't about red versus blue.
No.
This is about truth versus lies.
Oh.
Service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system.
Oh.
That is the type of experience that Ronna McDaniel brings to the table. And that experience does not get us to a deeper understanding of anything in the public debate.
I don't believe you. All right. So I don't believe anything this woman says, because I watched her as a flack for Biden. So, by the way, speaking of lies and Joe Biden, the political origin story that Joe Biden has been telling for 40 years is apparently, you may want to sit down for this, not true. It's apparently a lie. Uh-huh. His first big case right out of law school. Yeah, he wasn't actually out of law school, and the case wasn't his. And it actually went the opposite way. But other than that, totally nailed it. I will get it. I'll circle back to that for you, Jen. Jack Schaefer is Politico's senior media writer. He says Chuck Todd laid down a barrage of verbal spitfire NBC News bosses owed the current host, Kristen Welker, an apology for foisting Ronna McDaniel on the show. It put a glaring spotlight on one of the fundamental flaws embedded in the modern news ecosystem, and cable news in particular, the toxic revolving door between political operatives and mainstream media. I'm old enough to remember when Rush Limbaugh talked about this. Like, I don't know, 25 years ago? When it was rampant, but only for one particular party. Why did the McDaniel hiring blow up into a full-scale conflagration for, that's, by the way, another word for fire. If you don't want to use the word blaze, use the word conflagration. Unlike some other episodes that quickly fade away, what made this one different? Once again, thank Donald Trump. The press has struggled with how to cover Trump since he first launched his presidential candidacy in 2015, all the way through this 2024 campaign. It also hasn't forgotten Trump and his lieutenants' constant attacks on journalists. As another Meet the Press show guest, Kimberly Atkins-Store, told Welker, McDaniel's credibility was shot, adding accurately that McDaniel, quote, habitually joined Trump in attacking the press, members of the press, including this network, in a way that put journalists at risk, in danger. Unlike, say, Brett Kavanaugh. You can accuse him of running gang rape trains and stuff. Yeah, that's totally fine. And then somebody shows up to murder him in his neighborhood. You bear no responsibility for that. Back to the Politico piece. As noted above, rather than being an aberration, the hiring of a political like McDaniel by a news organization and the resulting upchuck of outrage is a well-grooved template. News outlets have been hiring politicians from the tainted to the radioactive for more than half a century. Television news networks and even the New York Times have been recruiting political operatives for a long time. LBJ's top aide, Bill Moyers, who became a CBS News journalist in 1976. He was party to a Johnson administration mission to hunt gay people in the White House. In 1973, the New York Times gave Nixon speechwriter William Safire a column, prompting David Halberstam to write a letter of protest. Let's see here. He's got a list. Shall we run through it? Briefly. This is not all inclusive. We've got Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, Karl Rove, John Kasich, Dana Perino, and Ben Carson. That's just on Fox News. Then we've also got Diane Sawyer, Chris Matthews, Joe Scarborough, Tim Russert, Susan Molinari, Mary Madeline, Bay Buchanan, Pat Buchanan, Paul Begala, Sarah Isger, Van Jones, Al Sharpton, Bill Bradley, Dee Dee Myers, Jennifer Granholm, David Axelrod, David Gergen, Donna Brazile, Lawrence O'Donnell, Nicole Wallace, George Stephanopoulos, Mick Mulvaney, Corey Lewandowski, and let's not forget the Nepo baby, Chelsea Clinton herself. And that's just a short list. How did we get here, he says. Hunger for commentary has prompted the networks to hire newsmakers and former newsmakers to keep them in the network stall so they can comment on news because it's more economically efficient than going out and finding fresh and knowledgeable unpaid sources. That's the key here, unpaid sources, okay? You get wind of a rumor or something, you got to go find a source. You can't pay them because you're a news person. But if you just hire somebody who has connections, then you can get the information confirmed from them. And they're on your payroll. And they're not going to give that to anybody else. Right? But this is part of the problem here because what is Ronna bringing to the table? Right? Who is she talking to that she's able to get the insider info? Is it Trump World? Is Trump World going to be giving her a whole bunch of scoops? I'm not so sure. How about the grassroots? Do they love Ronna McDaniel? Not so sure. All right, so back to this Jack Schaefer piece at Politico talking about NBC News hiring Ronna McDaniel and, you know, Chuck Todd from the Meet the Press, formerly of Meet the Press, very angrily denounced it all on Sunday. And Schaefer asks, what's the principle? Because Chuck Todd opposes hiring Ronna McDaniel, but he was happy to have her on as a guest when he was doing the show, right?
So is the principle here that it's okay for NBC to showcase unpaid guests who have an offbeat relationship with the truth, so to speak, but you definitely can't hire them? Well, I can have you on the program, and I can talk with you and interview you and all that, but you can't. I mean, you're not allowed to be paid to sit next to me. His outburst also cloaks the controversy in the truth, but that it should be, or sorry, the, it cloaks the controversy in the protective camouflage of dissent from the corporate executives, perhaps dissipating some of that anger on the center and the left. But it assumes that NBC News doesn't buckle against the criticism and cuts ties with McDaniel, then the company still can deflect some of the criticism that MSNBC tilts left during most of its broadcast day. They could say, we're not partisan. See, we have Ronna McDaniel working for us. Right? The problem with her appointment is that, unlike regular politicians, he says she has no constituency of her own. Right? MAGA doesn't like her or respect her. Neither do Democrats. So who's she drawing to the TV screen? Can she dependably toe the Trumpian line? Because not even Trump knows what the Trumpian line is going to be day to day. So how can she keep up? Then there was this from another article in Politico. If they had, the hosts are all upset that they were not consulted before she was hired, right? Several NBC political reporters say they would have told their bosses that she was not the prize that they thought she was. And their argument was this: Ronna McDaniel has no juice with the anti-Trump wing of the party. Right? The anti-Trumpers don't like her. Ronna McDaniel is not close to GOP leaders in Congress. And if the point is to give NBC viewers more insight into Trump world, then why turn to the person that Trump just ousted from the RNC? The Trump campaign was quietly celebrating Chuck Todd's evisceration of McDaniel yesterday. Asked for a comment, a top Trump official said, quote, "Of course I want to gloat online. I just don't think doing so moves any votes our way." You know, it's this whole disciplined campaign thing. Right, so who is going to tune in to be like, I got to know what Ronna McDaniel says about this? Man, she's going to have some real good insight about this. Man, she's got all those connections that she's going to be able to dial. And maybe she does. I don't know. I'm not going to watch to find out. I mean, that's just me personally. You are free to behave as you wish. Russ says, psst, hey guys, the normies aren't buying the whole left-right Republican-Democrat thing anymore. Let's call whatever we do the truth. And whatever they do, lies, and we'll see how that goes. And to Russ's point, the commentator Sonny Wright says that the sleight of hand here that Chuck Todd is using is to pretend that there is a distinction between spin and lies. Right? So he and Jen Psaki and all the Democrats that went to work for all the networks, they object to the lies because that's what Republicans do. And they know Republicans lie because, while they disagree with Republicans, so obviously the GOP's lying. Now, they're fine with spin, you see, because that's what Democrats do. See, it's just spin when we do it. See? Spin versus lies. It's not ideology. I don't know why you guys think this is about partisanship or something. This has nothing to do with ideology or partisanship. They're Republicans, so they lie. We're Democrats, so we spin. And spin is not lying. That's why we can take these jobs. And you can. Right? Very clear. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.